Linda, I'd like to begin by asking you about your grandparents. Would you tell me about your mother's parents first?
Well, my mother's father's ancestors came from Ireland, and when they came over on the boat, the ship, to the United States, there was a Scottish lady, and they met and they married, so that would make an Irish Scot background. And then my grandfather was a Civil War veteran, and during the war, a lot of the soldiers were harmed, you know, were injured, and they laid on the ground, and some of them would go around, if anybody showed up any life at all, they would shoot him in the head. My grandfather was shot in the head, but he lived. For some reason, the shot didn't hit the vital place, and he survived. And my grandmother's, one of her brothers, died in that Andersonville prison. That's one of the worst things that could ever happen, because none of them ever got out. And let's see.
Where did they live?
They lived at Fulton, Indiana. That was my grandparents. And that's where my mother was born, at Fulton, Indiana.
What did your grandfather do?
They farmed. And then he got his pension, too, you know. But they was farmers. And on my father's side, they were German Dutch. And they lived there in Cass County in Indiana. And my father was born there in Cass County. And they were farmers also.
Did you see the farm when you were young? Did you ever visit the farm?
Yes. Yeah, my mother had the farm where her parents used to live. And she paid off her sister, at that time little sister. And she aired the farm, so I was there many times. And I used to visit my grandmother many times, because we lived, about 4 or 5 miles from them. My father owned a general merchandise store near a lake. And I took care of the boats, and I dug fish worms. My first money, I sold 50 fish worms for a nickel. That was my first earning money, and that was big money to me. And I took care of the boats, and we sold ice. In the wintertime, they cut the ice, you know, and put it in the ice house, and they used sawdust around it. So I used to get up in the ice house and sell ice, and I drove a huckster wagon.
What's that?
Well, it's like a truck going around through the country selling groceries and picking up chickens and picking up eggs. And we had a team, a span of mules to drive what we called a huckster wagon back there. And one year, my brother, just older than myself, was in the service, First World War, in Panama for about a year. And I drove the huckster wagon that summer. And the folks owned a farm besides, and I would help on the farm. I'd go out and help shuck wheat and shuck corn and put hay in the hay mow. They'd put it up to me, and I'd take the fork and push it back, you know, in the hay mow. And when I was married, then I lived on a farm, too, and we farmed things, and we had everything on the farm. And what else do you want to know?
What was the farm like that your mother's parents farmed?
Well, there were several hundred acres there. And they raised cattle and cows and horses and geese and guineas and chickens and ducks. They made a good living off the farm of selling the produce, you know. And then my father owned a farm besides the store, and I think that was about 55 acres that he owned at that time.
Was that his parents' farm?
No, that was he bought that himself. But his parents, well, his father died when he was, I believe, about a year old. So his mother had to support him and, let me see, two brothers and a sister. There was four. and had to support him. And she lived on a little farm near one of the, near the sisters, near his sisters. But it wasn't such a big farm. Then, of course, she had pension. I don't know where her pension comes from, because I'm not sure where that, because my grandfather died when my father was only about a year old, I believe. And she was married twice to one brother, and he passed away, and then another brother. And he passed away, and she, and another brother wanted to marry her, but she decided not to get married again, so I don't know how old she was when she passed away. But my grandmother on my mother's side was 92 years of age when she passed away in a few months. And Grandpa, let's see, he died in 1915. He was about 77, I believe it was, in some odd months. And then my mother, she lived to be 87, and her sister lived to be 91. So we have a long lineage from my mother's side of the house, but on my father's side of the house, they seemed to die younger. And my father died when he was only 64. He had a stroke, I think it was. Mom, my mother was had diabetes, and but they all were hard-working people. They were always hard-working people. No, my father was born in Dark County, Ohio. I'm sorry. I was thinking he was born there in Cass County, but it was in Dark County, Ohio, somewhere near, I can't think of the any little town, because I was only there once to a reunion, and I don't remember too much about it. Arcadon, I think it was. I believe it was. But,
did your mother talk much about her childhood to you?
Well,
what it was like?
She got to go to college, and she wanted to teach school, but I guess they couldn't afford to send her to college, and so she got married then instead. And then started to rear up her family. She had eight children. My father and mother had eight children. And two brothers are gone now, and the rest of us are still living. So one of my sisters has tumor on the brain, and she's not a bit well at all. And she's bedfast. Then I have another sister who's bedfast. She had arthritis so bad, and she's bedfast. So there's two sisters dead fast, and another sister, the nurse, takes care of them. And they live in L.A.
Do you remember how your parents met?
No. From church, they have church and school, you know, that's about all they had in those days. And they met like that, going to the church programs or school plays or whatever they had at that time.
So they lived in the same town?
Well, they lived close, not too far from one another. And they learned to know each other that way. I think, as far as I know, that's the way they learned. And then my father had a cousin that he used to go with one of my mother's sisters that passed away. She passed away in 1906, the time of the earthquake in San Francisco. There were three sisters of grandma's family. And Aunt Anna died about 6 months after the earthquake. So she died early, but she never was married, Aunt Anna was. So.
What were your parents' names?
Daniel Osmond Albert and Margaret Jane Dill Albert. Mm-hmm.
And you know when they were married?
In 71. I believe it was. Were they born in 71? Mm-hmm. I could look that up a minute. Let's see. No, they must have been born in 71 because they were born. They were married in 90. Let's see, April the 19th, 1892. Because my eldest brother was born then. The last of May in 1893. Now, that would make them a little over a year. So that, it was in 92 they were married. And in 71 they were born. Both of them were born. Mom was born November 9th in 71, and my father was born February 25th in 71. He was a little older than that.
What was the general store like that you
got? Well, we sold everything, anything, you know, everything, medicine and groceries of all kinds. And we bought chickens and eggs of the people around, you know, and all kinds of groceries and material to make clothes and things like that. So it was, we always call it a general merchandise because there's everything in it.
Now where was it?
That was at Fletcher's Lake at Fulton County, Indiana. And the school was about a mile from there, and the church is only a little ways up the hill. So that was about all we children ever got to go to, was the church and the school, anything going on. And then we always enjoyed the lake, too. I used to be an expert swimmer and diver, but I never could skate. We had one neighbor girl that she was the most wonderful skater ever was. She was tall like a beam pole, but she could skate with any of the boys or any of them. And, oh, I used to give anything if I could skate, but my ankles was too weak. I couldn't stand up good. But the folks gave me a pair of skates one Christmas, but I couldn't use them. But I could beat them all in swimming and diving. I could turn one somersault and a half, jumping up and down off the diving board before I hit the water. And one summer, we used to have campers come there, you know. And one summer, they brought a bulldog. That dog used to get up on that diving board, and we'd try to push each other off, and then we'd throw sticks out, and then we'd jump off the diving board and see who could swim to pick up the sticks. We had more fun with that bulldog than, I said my childhood was wonderful, because we had fun. Don't think we did. It was clean fun, but it was good fun. And I said, told a lot, my late husband a lot of times, I said, my children never had the fun like I had. Well, he said he didn't have fun either. He had to work on a farm. His folks owned a big farm, and he always had to work. So they were all hard workers. Those people in those days, you know, all of them were hard working people.
What was the house like that you lived in?
Well, the one at the store, it had, we lived upstairs. Well, the folks had two or three rooms downstairs besides the store room, big storeroom. And then across from there, old, about as far from here as across the street over there, they had another older house. That they bought that property with it, you know, but we didn't do anything with the older house. And then on the farm, let's see, we had the kitchen, two bedrooms, and a large living room, and then we had three bedrooms upstairs. And that's the way we lived. There was eight, the family, and the family too, but then we always made out.
You know how your father was able to afford to buy the store to be living?
Well, they worked hard and they saved the money because they had stuff to sell, and then my mother would air some, and then she would buy cattle and sell them and make money on that, or any way they could make money, they saved what they could because she saved everything she could save. She would patch upon patch upon patch to wear clothes. People made all manner of fun of her, but that never bothered her because she saved, 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 and that was the way they had their money. Of course, now on the farm, they had the farm before they bought the store, but they would sell wheat. They would sell wheat and corn and stuff off the farm, you know. Now, when I went to college, they sold 50 bushels of wheat and got $2 a bushel and they gave me $100 to go to college. Now, that was my tuition when I went to college. And they helped me where they could, that I worked at college too to help make any money that I could help make for books or anything I would need. But they'd help me, and I went about 2 years to college at North Manchester. And I taught school then 4 years. I taught 3 years, then I got married and taught one more year, and then I taught 1 year after I was married, then I started to have my family then, so I quit teaching. And I still had 2 years of license that I could teach. But I was supposed to go to Richmond, Indiana, and my husband said he'd go with me when I first got to school, because I had the older daughter. And so then he and his folks got together, and they decided for him to farm for them instead of him going with me. And I said, well, now, if he don't go with me, I'm not going either. So I had to lose my 2 years of license. But he should have gone. Someone said, why didn't you make him go? Well, you can't make a man do things that they don't want to, especially when you got his family against you. They said, well, I could take my eldest daughter and go and teach school. I said, no, if he don't go with me, I don't go. I said, he promised he would go, but if he can't keep his promises, I said, I don't go. So they didn't like it very well, and they always caused me trouble because they couldn't make me do things. I was independent. I had to buck up against the whole group, you know. My late husband and I, we'd make our plans to do things like that. Then he'd go out and talk it over with his folks. Well, they'd pro and con and whatever. They wouldn't let me in on it, but they'd pro and con. Well, if I'd find out what they decided on, I'd have to find out through somebody else, you know, or imagine what they said. And I used to tell them I was psychic because I could almost figure what was going to happen, you know. But I had that to contend with, and that's not right. I never wanted to live among his people or my folks either. I wanted to get clear away. I'd have come west if he'd have done it when we were married, but oh no, he was a mama's boy. He was a pick of the, that is, he was a, anything they wanted to get done, he was willing to do. Well, I never objected for anything he'd help his parents. But I objected that he wouldn't do things for me when they would go against the things that we had planned on, which isn't fair. And I said, well, I learned a lesson from that I tried to keep out of my own children. I said, we could have separated many times if I'd have listened to people, but I wouldn't listen to anybody. I wanted to keep the home together. I married him because I wanted him. I wanted to get married. I loved him. And I thought he loved me, but I used to tell him, I don't think he loves me or the children or anything. I said, you don't know what love is. Because I take my children, I went to church with my children alone. He'd never go with me because the folks didn't want him to. Well, then he didn't go. But I had a lot of that to contend with. But maybe it's a good thing I did because my children turned out pretty good, if I do say so. And it could be that might have helped, too. We never could have everything that I thought we ought to be able to have. And I worked hard on a farm. I helped him in anything that he'd done on a farm. Sometimes I wonder maybe a wife shouldn't help a man so much. Because I've noticed a lot of women that they never do very much, and the men seem to carry them around on a pedestal. Well, I didn't care about being carried around on a pedestal, but I never could understand why that they seemed to go against me on things that I thought was fair and right. And I would help to have the feeding all done because my husband worked at his folks, you know, on a farm. Well, I'd have all the chores done when he got home. And of a morning, I'd do all the chores except milking. I couldn't milk a cow. I have a crippled finger, and I couldn't milk a cow dry. And you got to milk them dry, or they'll go dry. I mean, you got to milk them good. And I took care of them. But I liked that work. I liked to get out and flop the hogs and feed the stock and take care of the horses and the cattle. But I couldn't, like I say, I couldn't milk. That's the only thing I couldn't do. I killed my own chickens. I'd hang them up on a clothesline by the feet. I'd take a knife and hold their heads and crack their heads off and let them drain the blood down so it won't get dirt, you know. Then I clean my chickens. I used to get up early in the morning and I'd go out and I'd kill a chicken. I'd fry it. I fried potatoes. I boiled eggs. And I made butter. I'd always bought bread. I'd never make any bread because my mother was a good bread baker and his mother was too good a bread maker. I'd never bake a loaf of bread. Because I never sometimes had good luck, so I wasn't going to let them tell me that I didn't know how to bake. So I wouldn't bake that. But I could bake pies, and I'd bake a pie. And we'd get the work all done. And I'd go to the cornfield with him, and I'd shuck corn all day. We'd take our food and eat at noon. And we'd shuck all day long. Then I'd come home, and I'd either do washing or eating. I'd do ironing or eating, or straighten up the house or eating, or fix up the something for the next day. Now, that's the way I work. But I didn't mind it then. I didn't mind working that way. One time, our old sow was ready to have her little piggies, and it was snow on the ground, and she got out. I don't know how she ever got out, but she got out. She was by as far from here to Lakewood Boulevard, that distance, out to the woods, and she had her babies. I knew that she was about ready to have them, and I picked up a basket. I followed her tracks and went to the woods, and there she had 13 little piggies. So I picked up the little piggies, and of course she'd follow me when I started with the little piggies, because she just had them that day. And I took her back home, and I took the piggies, well, I put her in the hog house, and she laid down there, because we had nice clean straw for it, everything ready. And so she laid down, I don't know how long, but anyway, I took all those little piggies in the house, and I put a blanket in the oven and started a fire where it would be just kind of warm, not too hot. And I took a teaspoon, and I took a half of water and a half of milk in that teaspoon, and I'd give all those little piggies something to eat, drink. And, you know, then I took them all out, put them with her. Well, they finally found where they could get their dinner, too, from her. I don't know, I guess it's instinct with pigs. But anyway, the next morning, the little runt was outside, froze to death. And she raised all 12 of those pigs. But she kicked out the little runt. They're funny that way. It's only she hadn't ate it, because sometimes they will. So what I did with her then, I went in the house and I got your dishwater, a lot of things like that, or scraps on the table. I dumped them all in a big bucket, and I warmed some milk and poured with them, and I heated up the slop, and I took that out, and she had that first day. Well, they just loved that, you know. So every day then, for about a month, I would kind of heat up some of the slop for her, and that helped too. And then I'd feed her corn, and so I enjoyed that way of doing it. I don't know. It was hard work, but it wasn't hard to me, because when you enjoy it, it wasn't hard. And maybe that's why I'm living as long as I have, because I worked hard, and I was a big eater, though. That was my worst failing. I still eat lots yet, but I was always a big eater. I said, I worked hard, and I always ate lots. My father used to say, well, he got a store. They thought he could fill Juanita up, but he said he never saw anybody that could eat like she does. I ate more than the others. I would sit down at a table, clean up a plate, I could stand up, turn around, sit down, and I could eat some more. And then I was scrunching at the store, crackers and cheese and bologna. At that time, I could eat bologna and cheese and crackers and salmon, not salmon, but sardines and pork and beans. Anything I want in candy, I filled up on candy all my life. Well, they think that's odd that I did, but I did. I ate candy any time I wanted it. And I was always scrunching. And Pop used to say, I don't know how they ever get you filled up. Mom was always a good cook. But I said, well, Papa, I said, I work hard. And I said, that's why I eat heavy. But I was always kind of heavy all my life, except that after my third child was born. And I wasn't a bit well then for quite a while. And when Marilyn was born, I was down bed fast part of the time. We'd get the work done before the folks went away, and I'd lie down on the divan, put my food next to the couch, whichever I was lying on, and I couldn't get up till somebody comes to either put my feet on the floor or else lift my shoulders up. I couldn't manage to get up out of bed. So I really had it rough at that time when my youngest daughter was born, and but she was about 7 years younger than my youngest son, so I was lucky on that, but I wasn't pregnant all those times. And I always wanted my children to learn to read and write and spell, you know. And I was a school teacher, so I tried to teach them at home, too, a whole lot, and that helped, too. I know the first time my eldest daughter went to school, a teacher came to me. She said, her name was Juanita, too. She said, Juanita, she said, your daughter's got the best language and best grammar of any child I've ever seen. I says, well, I was a teacher, and that's the way I taught her. I didn't teach her baby talk. I taught her just like an older person, and I sang to her, I rocked, and I sang to her. I thought someday that I would write a book and say, take time with your child, would be my, title. And I could give my experience with my little girl that way, and They just love for you to sing to them, you know, and I did that with all my children. I'm not a wonderful singer, but I guess that don't make much difference, because all the children turned out to be pretty good singers, but I never was too good a singer. Now, I'll sit at the piano and play and sing with that, but I'm not too good on carrying a tune or anything, and I'm not very good on picking out tunes. I don't know why, but I never was, but I depend on the piano, I guess, too much or something. But I never thought I was such a wonderful singer. I sing too loud is one thing, but I never thought I was such a good singer. But the folks gave me a chance to learn the piano. I only took, I don't think, more than a dozen lessons. Then I played for the church. I played the church music I could play all right, but other music I wasn't too good at. But I was a church pianist for several years when I was growing up. And I really had a wonderful childhood. I can't pick on my childhood. The folks were strict, now, as far as being strict, but I guess that didn't hurt us, so. Because like my mother used to say, she said, well, we have a public store, and we have to make you behave yourself. But so many of the neighbors, well, especially one, she used to come down and would tell Mama that I would do this and I would do that. Well, once in a while, Mama would give us a whipping. And then she'd find out it wasn't us that did it. It was their own children that done it. So one time, it worked out pretty good for me anyhow. So we seldom ever got to go out on Halloween night. Because me, the younger folks, were that day they destroy for people. Well, my folks would never allow us to destroy for somebody else. Because they always said, if you go out and destroy, then somebody could come destroy what you have. And it worked both ways, you know. So we never destroyed for people. And so one time then, one of the girls in our class had a party. Well, my brother next to me, he was about 4 years older than I was, he'd heard what some of the kids were going to do. So he told my mother. So my mother says, well, Juanita, I'll let you go, but I want you to come right straight home after the party's over. She said, don't you go anywhere else that you ever do. She said, she used to say she'd skin us alive. But then anyway, she'd give us a hard whipping if we don't listen to her. Well, we minded her. And so I came home that night. Well, Mom was up waiting for me. So she knew the time I got in. And she didn't say any more. She just said, I'm so glad you got home all right. I said, sure, I got home all right. And I said, I came right home like you told me to. I said, now, most of them, they didn't go to their homes. And so I didn't say no more, and she didn't ask me any questions. So the next morning, one of the neighbors came down to the store, and Mom was happened to be in the store at the time, so I don't know, I was doing something else. So he comes in, and he says, Mag, he always called her Mag. He says, Mag, he said, I shot at Juanita last night. Mom, my mother says, you shot at her? He says, why did you shoot at her? She says, well, she was out in the cornfield destroying my pumpkins, my watermelons, and destroying my corn stalks. Mom hollered at me. She says, Juanita, come in here a minute. So when I come in, I couldn't imagine what on earth she wanted with me. She says, Sam says he shot at you. I says, well, why did, says, where was I when he shot at me? Well, he says, he claimed that you was in his cornfield. I said, Mom, you stayed up till I got home. And I said, I did not go to his cornfield. And I said, if I did, you'd give me a licking if I had him. And she says, well, Sam says a bunch of the kids were in his cornfield destroying stuff. Well, I said, Mommy, you don't ever allow us to destroy for other people. And I said, I don't understand why he comes down here and claims that I was with the group. Then he said, well, who was in the group? I said, I'm not going to tell you. And Mom said, well, why don't you tell him? I said, no, Mom. I said, you can whip me. You can do anything, but I'll never tell him who was in that cornfield. I said, I wasn't there, and I didn't see him. But I said, I know the group that talked like they were going, but I said, I didn't see him there, and I didn't go with him. And I said, I refuse to tell him. Well, I thought for a while Mother would give me a whipping, but she didn't. That was one time she didn't give me a whipping. And I told her afterwards, I said, oh, I'm so thankful. I said, Mom, I would never tell him. I said, let him find out for himself. It was some of his own family, own nieces and nephews and others, and I wasn't going to tell him. I said, let him find out. I don't think he ever found out, but I wasn't going to tell him. And so I told Mom afterwards, I said, Mom, I said, I was so afraid you were going to give me a licking, but I said, I'd have took it. I said, you could beat me to pieces, but I said, I wasn't going to tell him. I said, why should I? I said, he come in here and lied about me. And I said, well, now, Mom, I said, why is it that you always listen to people when they come and tell you things? And I said, now, that's just the case where you can, I said, that you pretty well know who the others are. I said, I can tell you, but I said, don't you ever tell this, Sam was his name. And, but I didn't tell her because she didn't ask.